we can withstand hunger. We can live without food for a few days, but not without water. We cannot withstand thirst. You know why? Because our body needs water. I don't know how many percent does our body are composed of water. So thirst is a necessity that must be satiated. And we're talking about physical thirst, spiritual, much more of a deeper thirst, and that is spiritual. Our thirst for God. The question is, could man live without God? Could that man not satiate his spiritual thirst for God? The book of Genesis presents to us the experience of the Israelites in the desert. They were wandering in the desert. And while wandering in the desert, they experienced this thirst, physical thirst. And because of this thirst, they were irritable. They were angry, not only hungry, but angry. They fight each other, and they complain to Moses. And the deepest and the saddest thing is, because of this physical thirst, they even doubted God. Is God with us or not? Is God with us? So physical thirst led them to this doubt whether God is truly with them. But what was the response of Yahweh as their God? I am here with you. I am in your presence. I am. Remember that they addressed this thirst in God's presence. And God said, I am here with you. So God told Moses to strike with his staff the rock, which afterwards there was water, physical water, and they drink. Their physical, rather, thirst was satiated, or was rather quenched. But deeper realities of this reality, my dear brothers and sisters, their physical thirst is a symptom. We're talking about virus today, no? And there is always symptom. The physical thirst is symptomatic. And what is a symptom of that? The symptom is their thirst for God. Their thirst for the presence of God. And God, that's what I have told you, quenched their thirst with his presence. St. Paul, in our second reading today, talks about wider vision of thirst. Wider, deeper vision of this thirst. He told the Romans that they were godless people. You know, a godless people? There are a lot of people today who are godless. They simply believe, they simply live their lives without God. That in themselves, they are already sufficient. And so, they don't need God. That is a godless people. St. Paul reminded the Romans that when you were godless, you were dead in sin. It is because of the presence of sin that made you godless, that you don't need God in your lives. The presence of sin. But I would like to remind you that while you were in that state, being godless, being dead in sin, always remember this, On God the Father sent you His Son, and He died on the cross. Please realize it. Who would ever die on the cross for people who don't even love Him, who don't even recognize Jesus Christ? But this is, you know what? The thirst of God for His people. That even if these people remain hard-headed, turn their backs on God, it is God who took the initiative of sending His Son and allowing this Son to die on the cross. And what is this again? Because of God's thirst for His people. If people thirst for God, God is also thirsting for His people, because God could not be separated from His people. Even if people are separated from Him, this shows how immense and mysterious the love of God for His people, which is demonstrated in our gospel today. The famous encounter of Jesus with a Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. It is narrated by the Gospel of John. Both Jesus and the Samaritan woman have thirst in their lives. But let us dwell on the thirst of the Samaritan woman, because her thirst of our thirst too. Number one thirst of the Samaritan woman: the thirst for acceptance. Thirst for acceptance. Remember that the Jews and the Samaritans are at loggerheads with each other. They don't see eye to eye. The Jews would look down on the Samaritans as people who are damned to hell because of their race. Their race was mixed. They are not considered real Jew or pure Jews simply because of their lineage, their ancestors have mixed marriages or have marriages with foreigners. And the Jews took offense at this. So they don't even allow their people, the Jews, to use the utensils, or allow the Samaritans to use their utensils. There is a demarcation line. The Samaritan woman is thirsting for an acceptance, and Jesus quenched that thirst. You are not accepted by my fellow Jews simply because you are a Samaritan. But don't mind. I am a Jew. I am accepting you. I am loving you. I am accepting you. Thirst for acceptance. Many people today have this thirst. So silent. Can you resonate? Why are you so silent? Right? It is true. Thirst for acceptance. Second, the woman who came to Jacob's well was so weary. She has been laboring, working. Of course, her body needs rest. And you know what made him so weary? It's not only the work You know, when we work, we get tired. We're not Superman. We get tired. That's why we have Sabbath. We have rest day. We need rest. But what makes this woman so weary is not only the work. What? It is sin. She lives a sinful life. That's why she was so weary. And when she went there, and when she encountered Jesus, always realize, my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus gives her relief, sigh of relief, that, hey, you are a sinner, that sin made you weary. No problem. Remember, in one of the texts in the gospel, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. True enough, this experience was true in the case of the Samaritan woman. Jesus gives her relief in here, in her weariness of life because of sin. Third, thirst of the Samaritan woman. Thirst to be known personally. Remember, Jesus asked him, can you call your husband? And you know what was the response of the woman? She even lied. She even lied. I don't have, Lord, a husband. Oh, I know you. You have even 5 husbands. And the man whom you're living right now is not your true husband. Oh, don't tell me lie. I know you. I am God. You cannot hide anything from me. But this encounter is more than that, my dear brothers and sisters. That Jesus, because the Samaritan woman was thirsting for acceptance, thirsting to be known, and he is before a prophet. Jesus was a prophet, and she could not hide anything from Jesus. But here, the underlying element here is, yes, even if you are not living with your true husband, even if you're living in sin, I am here to accept you for who you are. Accepting a person for who he or she is without judgment. Because if Jesus judged her, Jesus would say, oh, woman, you are immoral. You are sinful. I have nothing to do with you. Stay away from me. You're a sinful. You're a sinner. And I don't want to associate with sinner. And I don't want to judge with sinner. Accepting without judgment. Knowing the person. The thirst to be known. Thirst to be known and accepted without judgment. Fourth thirst. The thirst for true relationship with God. This is the woman's story. She has been away from God. But now in Jesus, she believes that Jesus would accept her without judgment, without bias, without prejudice, without discrimination. And this is the true relationship that God wants to establish with us. The last thirst. The thirst to share the good news. After this encounter with Jesus, the Samaritan woman shared the good news. Remember that we have been bombarded with bad news. But what is the good news? I have found the Messiah. I have found the person who accepts me for who I am, who did not judge me as a sinner, as a sinful woman, as an immoral person. So the Samaritan woman shared this good news to her fellow Samaritans. And what happened? Her fellow Samaritans believe in Jesus. So see the encounter between the Samaritan woman and Jesus. It was not only the Samaritan woman who was benefited, but the community. And this is what Jesus wanted to show to us. His thirst for everyone. Brothers and sisters, we experience different kinds of thirst. Thirst for respect, for justice, thirst for love, and everything. And always remember that Jesus meets us in our own thirst. And He quenched that thirst for us, just as He satiated or quenched the thirst of the Samaritan woman.